is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The moves on this legal tampering Monday continue to come across our timeline as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out there in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And while we continue to get news in and we will share it as things come across, still the biggest news coming out of the last 24 hours is that Russell Wilson has found a landing spot after getting released by the Denver Broncos last week, Michael. He will be a Pittsburgh Steeler headed into that quarterback room with Kenny Pickett. And one of those situations where because of the price tag, it felt like he would have made sense a number of places because it's just so low risk. You signed that vet minimum $1.2 million contract. Like, he's less expensive than Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew or anybody else, and just see what he can do to compete in that room.
And by signing him to that low deal, you're telling him, look, you come in and compete, and you give Kenny Pickett a chance to compete as well. Look, I think it doesn't move the needle for Pittsburgh. They won 10 games last year with Mason Rudolph in the game. I don't think it affects Mason Rudolph, them re-signing Mason Rudolph either, because this contract probably won't even be in the top 51 contracts of the Steelers on the top 51. So they could sign Rudolph with the cap room that they have. I think it's really important that Pittsburgh, and I've said this from the beginning of free agency, they wanted someone to come in and compete. They didn't want to give someone the job. And I think when Mike Tomlin met with Russell Wilson, that was the conversation. Like, here we are. If you win the job, it's yours. If you don't, you're not going to be able, we'll tell you why you didn't win it. And I think it's a perfect situation. Arthur Smith is very good at devising a running game. You know, it's a play action pass game. That's something that Russell can effectively do. And I think it fits. Now, does it make them a better team? No, but it improves their team. Again, like we talk about, like I wrote about today for VSiN, there's certain moves that really, they don't really improve your team. Do I still think Pittsburgh needs a starting quarterback? Absolutely. You know, because a year from now, if Pickett's not the starter, Wilson's a free agent, where are we? So their search for another quarterback hasn't ended, but it gives them a bridge to the next quarterback, which is really all you're looking for. Minnesota might have to go through this same bridge building exercise that we're seeing Pittsburgh do, because if Cousins signs with Atlanta, then they're going to have to find their quarterback of the future. It could be Sam Darnold for the moment, and then draft somebody to hopefully develop them down the road. I think that's where we're headed.
And you mentioned it. We mentioned it off the top with the Steelers. Their odds, exactly what Michael said there, from the long term for the Super Bowl, big picture, have not changed. They were 75-1 before they signed Russell Wilson. They still remain 75-1 at DraftKings. But within the division, there was a slight tick down from 12-1 to 10-1. But overall, it's just one of those things where we'll see what ultimately we get out of Russell Wilson, because obviously the experience in Denver was a failure. I think this has been a big humbling experience for Russell Wilson and everything that he has been through. But obviously with him signing this deal, I think also saying I have a little bit of confidence in myself too, that I can step into that room, I can win the job, and we can do some good things in Pittsburgh. And with that, like the quarterback market in general right now, you talk about Kirk Cousins, what does happen there? Because obviously Kevin O'Connell has been very vocal and open about saying he wants Kirk Cousins back. Kirk Cousins feels very comfortable, loves Minnesota, and has had success there. He was having the best season of his career prior to the Achilles injury, but they don't want to give him guarantees, and he wants guarantees, and quite frankly would make a really great fit in Atlanta, a place that his wife is from as well. If you had to say right now where Kirk Cousins lands, in your opinion, is it Atlanta?
Well, I think if they're willing to go in the third year, I think Carson's, the teams are willing to give him a 2-year guarantee. I think it's that third year. It's that year where he might not be on the team because of age, because of injury, whatever. Remember, Kurt's not a movement quarterback, so he is prone to get hit. I think ultimately here, you know, if Minnesota isn't able to get him back, I think he wants to go back to Minnesota. I think, you know, for change, it always needs to be something of a striking difference between the two negotiations. And Atlanta's in that position. But look, let's be honest here. Cousins makes Atlanta a better team. There's no question if he's healthy. That's a hard thing to say if he's healthy. But Atlanta still needs a quarterback because, you know, even if they guarantee the third year, there's no guarantee that he's going to play effectively in the third year. So I think that's it. You know, today we're starting to see some moves trickle in. For example, the Jacksonville signed Gabe Davis. They also signed Darnell Savage. Mm-hmm. They signed two players, one for offense, one for defense. To me, I thought Jacksonville missed a great opportunity. They should have. I would have put all my resources into Christian Wilkins because they could use another rusher with Josh Allen, whereas the Raiders, I think they did a very smart thing. They built strength on strength, right? When you're strong in certain areas, Max Crosby, they drafted Tyree Wilson, who wasn't a very good player last year. They moved him inside and outside. But now with Wilkins in there to line up on the same side as Max Crosby with push inside. Remember, pass rush has to be choreographed. You need pressure inside, and you need those edges to close down. And that will certainly help Crosby. I think it's a great move for the Raiders' defense. I think it gives them somebody in their front four that makes it very challenging. You can't double-team everybody. You got to double-team Max, but you can't double-team everybody.
Yeah, I think that's huge for the Raiders. Christian Wilkins, 4 years, $110 million to come out here to Vegas. We also just got our first big running back move that came through in the market. I don't have the numbers just yet, but Ian Rappaport, first to report, the Packers are expected to sign Josh Jacobs. And another one coming down here, not with running back market, but defensive end Bryce Huff, who we were talking about a lot last week, Michael. He is signing a 3-year, $51.1 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, who you referenced last
Shocking.
Week. Shocking. Who you said last Shocking. Week had a deal on the table.
Oh, that catches me completely off guard. Oh, now, here's what happens here. You know, Hassan Riddick will be gone. They'll try to trade him. They're going to try to trade Sweat. And they waited. What time is it? It's 2:06 Eastern. They waited 2 hours to get this deal in. That was good. That was good. The Jacobs move now, that's fascinating for Green Bay, right? Because, look, we know how effective Green Bay was at the end of the year when Aaron Jones was humming, right? And this Jacobs kid now, when he's healthy and he can catch the ball in the backfield, he's a dynamic receiver. He can do all the things Aaron Jones can do, but he brings power and he brings something tough. I think this is a hell of a move for Green Bay. I'm not a big fan on, you know, I don't know what the contract is, but I think this is a good move for Green Bay. It gives them a legitimate, you got to have to defend the box receiver, I mean running back, and someone who can also play alongside of Aaron Jones, right? You could put Aaron Jones in the game, have him run some routes with Jacobs in the backfield. I like it. I think it's a good move. Now, I don't know what the contract is. I know the Raiders wanted to sign him. I know they wanted him back. But, you know, I think ultimately the Packers must have outbid him.
And he had, I know this past year, played 13 games, had half the production than he did a season ago when he was the NFL's rushing leader. But like, you see the type of athlete that he can be and where he can have success. And that Packers team that's so young and up and coming, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I agree. I think that that's a great landing spot for him. And I am still laughing at all of the Bryce Huff stuff, Michael, because people like to doubt you and they come for you on social media. But more often than not, you end up on the right side of these things.
It's so funny. I love it. You know, it's these experts. They're in the basement in their underwear eating meatloaf and they got all the answers. You know, it's hilarious. Like, I just pulled that out of the air, right? Like, I just pulled that. Like, I just decided to spread a rumor about Philadelphia. Like, come on.
Well, it's,
you know,
because
it's
when
like
he didn't get franchise tagged, everybody's like, oh, okay. But look at how things ultimately ended up playing out there.
Well, I think there was a discussion within the Jets building because the Jets knew they were losing them. Now, the Jets obviously know they're going to get a huge compensation. Get a compensatory third round pick next year for them, assuming they don't sign guys. And now if you're Joe Douglas and you know you've got this huge number, you try to maneuver your way around. You've got somebody in your office that's helping you handle the compensatory. So you want to come out of this with a plus compensatory pick. The other team that's been very active in the last 10 minutes is the Los Angeles Rams. They signed a really good guard in Jonah Jackson from the Lions, paid him a lot of money. And Colby Parkinson, the tight end from the Seattle Seahawks. Those two players, you know, certainly will help this Ram offense. And look, they know this, the Rams, they're another team. Matthew Stafford's their bridge. He's a good player, played really well last year, you know, and when he was spinning it, it was good. And with him in there, they're a formidable team. They are the perfect example of a team that they have some of the things that goes towards winning when you handicap. They don't have a great team, but they have key pieces that help you win. Quarterback, receiver, right? Now they're improving this offensive line. I think it really helps them tremendously.
One thing we haven't touched on yet, which is a little bit of a surprise when it comes to the free agent market, is the 49ers are expected to release Arik Armstead after he declined a pay cut. The team tried to work out a restructured deal for him. I saw reports that they got close, but ultimately couldn't reach an agreement. He played 12 games this past year, 27 tackles, 5 sacks. He was their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, but also coming off a torn meniscus, and he's had a number of injuries in his career. Slated to count $28.53 million against the cap in 2024. What do you make of this whole situation with Arik Armstead in San Francisco?
Well, I mean, look, there's certain players that are really good, and there's certain players that were really good, and there's certain players that have the arrow going down. There's certain players that have the arrow going up, and I think Armstead has the arrow going down. Now, he was hurt last year. We know that. He didn't play nearly to the level that he once did as a dominator, and I think ultimately his defensive linemen get up there in age. There's a wear and tear. Now, it's a huge vacuum in there inside. This 49er defensive front is no longer. I mean, it's Nick Bosa. You know, Kinlaw never worked out for him. They traded Kinlaw for Buckner. That didn't work out. They re-signed Armstead. They're going to have to get somebody inside to help them. Are they going to sign Danielle Hunter? I don't know. But they need another edge guy. They're going to need defensive linemen because that's the strength of their team. And right now, they've lost a lot of guys. Again, let's go back to what Billy Walters talked about. Let's evaluate the key positions. The Niners don't improve this defensive front. They don't have any depth there right now. They don't have enough blue chip players in the front to run the scheme they want to run.
So much more to come still here on the Lombardi Line. But again, the big news, at least in the last handful of minutes, in the last half an hour, Christian Wilkins is now a Las Vegas Raider and Josh Jacobs headed to the Packers. We'll talk more free agency in a bit. But when we come back, looking at the draft side of this with Thor Nystrom next, we'll be right back on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready for the ultimate slam dunk. Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer and get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets and betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now. Get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th. VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And as we have been breaking down the legal tampering period and all of these deals coming through from agents and insiders with free agency, that window officially opening. Again, none of these deals will be done until Wednesday with the new league year opening up. It's good to see how this will affect some of these moves now looking forward in the draft and how teams are trying to build into next year. So to help us go through it all, we welcome in Thor Nystrom, NFL draft college football analyst over there at Betting Pros. You can follow him on X at ThorKU, where as I am looking at your profile right now, you have a header image of JJ McCarthy in a Vikings jersey. So talk us through that and your expectations for the Vikings here, Thor.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings obviously might be waving bye to Kirk Cousins here pretty soon. Atlanta obviously been sniffing around. So if that ends up happening, Kirk Cousins signs with Atlanta or another team, their Vikings are going to be looking to potentially trade up. And I think JJ McCarthy is a guy they could be looking at. So I think that marriage would make a lot of sense.
Where do you have, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations and it's way early yet. Once we get through free agency, there'll be even more. But what's your current ranking of the quarterbacks after Caleb Williams, number one?
So I have Caleb Williams, one, Jaden Daniels, two, JJ, three, and Drake May, number four.
Wow. And what do you feel like is the reason that Drake May is not in the same category as the other guys?
The questions I have about him, it's under pressure, outside the pocket, stuff like that. I don't think the rushing utility we saw with him in 2022 when he was in Longo system is going to translate. But Drake May under pressure in 2023, 39 for 90, 43.3% completion, 7-5 TDINT ratio, 59.2 PFF passing grade, 28 sacks. So it's stuff like that. When I observe his tape under pressure, what I see is him speeding up his mechanics. And I see some errancy with the accuracy when he's under pressure. It's just stuff like that. Look, I see the same thing everyone else does with the arm talent. The guy's got an absolute bazooka. I love him in the pocket, but I don't see the same stuff that other people toss out, you know, as far as like Josh Allen or Justin Herbert, as far as like that rushing utility translating to the NFL, different stuff like that, or the utility of getting outside the pocket, different playmaking, stuff like that. So I think you're more confined to inside the pocket. And like I said, when you're inside the pocket, the speeding up of the processing when he's under pressure is just something that concerns me just a little bit with Drake May.
NFL draft analyst Thor Nystrom joining us via the Progressive guest line on the Lombardi line. And Thor, let's go back to JJ McCarthy here for a moment, because this is a prospect who you have some people who say he's not even a first round pick. And then some people like yourself who consider him in that top four upper echelon of quarterbacks in this draft. What sets him apart in your eyes that he is a higher level prospect?
Yeah, love the football IQ. Guy's tough as nails. Comes out of Jim Harbaugh's NFL factory. He's a very good athlete. He's going to run high 4.4s, low 4.5s. He weighed in 15 pounds heavier than he was listed at Michigan at the NFL Combine. Ran the fifth fastest 3-cone at the entire event. He threw 61 miles per hour on the velocity thing, which was 1 mile per hour less than the record that they have at the event. I love him out of the pocket, out of structure, throwing off platform. When he was throwing on the move last year, 71.4% completion scrambling, 72.3% completion just overall. So he doesn't lose any of his viability when he's off platform. I love that. Adjusted completion rate last year was fourth. Adjusted deep completion percentage last year in the FBS was third for JJ McCarthy. Adjusted pressured completion rate last year was fourth in the FBS. I love all that stuff. He doesn't get frazzled. You can't frazzle him. And I think the narrative with JJ McCarthy, it's sort of been inverted. You know, people like to be like, oh, he was in this great situation, yada, yada. I don't know that he was, you know, at least when he was throwing, you know, in that system, it was you run with Blake Corum on first down. A lot of times it was running on second down as well. When JJ McCarthy was throwing, invariably it was third and long situations. Roman Wilson is going to be a late second rounder, maybe early third rounder. Cornelius Johnson is a sixth or seventh rounder. They had two tight ends out there. Blake Corum's not a great receiving back. Those were the situations where JJ McCarthy was throwing. He was by far the best third and long quarterback in this class. And as Mr. Lombardi knows, NFL coaches, what they look for in college quarterbacks, it's how do they do on third and long scenarios. When the defense knows what's coming, that's what NFL coaches value the most. JJ McCarthy was the best quarterback in this class in third and long scenarios. It's something that I value quite a bit as well.
Yeah, you're right there, Thor. You got it nailed. And so where do you have Bo Nix in this whole mix?
I have Bo Nix quarterback six. I have him a bit behind Michael Penix. I like Penix's arm a bit more. With Nix, the thing that concerns me is the things that he improved upon going from Auburn to Oregon. I think that was Oregon's offensive system addressing that for Bo Nix more than it was Nix, you know, improvements of his game that addressed that. And what I'm talking about, it's sitting back in the pocket, the downfield throwing stuff, the pocket presence type stuff. In Oregon's system, they spread out the field and it was getting the ball out immediately. Bo Nix in this class had one of the quickest times to throw. You know, he got the ball out immediately and he had one of the lowest ADOTs in this class as well. His ADOT was basically the same as Austin Reed's at WKU. We all recognize that Austin Reed at WKU, that air raid system that they run, it's a Mickey Mouse system. Oregon was running a Mickey Mouse system as well. And so the things that Bo Nix struggled with at Auburn, he just didn't have to do at Oregon. You know, you tip your hat to Bo Nix, some of the improvements that he made, but I still have concerns about the thing in the NFL where he's going to have to sit back there, read the defense, and then throw downfield. I don't think he has a downfield throwing arm for the NFL. I like some of the intermediate velocity. I do think he can spin it intermediate, but going downfield, I don't think he has the arm for that to consistently threaten deep. And I get concerned for him having to read the field, sitting back there in the pocket. I've seen him be a crash test dummy there when he has to read the field, you know, going back to Auburn, getting hit back there and different stuff like that.
Bo Nix Pro Day at Oregon coming up tomorrow. So with the concerns that you have about him, and then obviously we have the injury concerns about a guy like Michael Penix Jr. and any of those recurring because of what he's had throughout the course of his college career, do you view those two as first round picks, or what are you anticipating in terms of the number of quarterbacks that go in that opening round?
So for me, Michael Penix, more of an early second round guy. Although, you know, I mean, we all know how the NFL draft works. If Michael Penix were to go in the late first, it wouldn't stun me. But for me, I would say early second round. I think Nix, I mean, on my board, Nix is going to be like a mid third rounder. But I think, you know, we get to the end of April, I think Nix is going to be a late second rounder.
And after Harrison, who's your number two receiver?
My number two receiver is Odunze. I just think he is such a stud. You know, he's so big. He proved the athletic traits, you know, at the combine, you know, the three cone and everything, the speed he's got. And I love the release package he has. The ball skills are insane. So I just have to put him there. I love Neighbors too, of course, but Odunze is just so skilled all the way around. He just doesn't have a weakness. And I comp him to Julio Jones.
With Denver moving on from the Russell Wilson experience, how are you anticipating this Broncos franchise looking to rebuild through the draft this year?
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because right now it looks like they're boxed out, and you know it's sort of like that Super Troopers quote where desperation is a stinky cologne. And you would expect Sean Payton to do whatever he can to get up, to get the young quarterback. They don't have the cap space, so they can't go out and sign someone. So you would expect them to have every incentive in the world to move up. But then the Vikings are above them already. The Vikings have every incentive to move up as well to get their young quarterback. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out. Will the Broncos then, would they reach for Michael Penix? I mean, to me, that would be an egregious reach. If you ended up taking Michael Penix at, like, say, 13, it would be more palpable to trade back and then take a guy like, you know, whether it's Penix or whether it's Nix. I would still view that as a reach even in the 20s for those guys. I think they're kind of stuck unless they can work out a trade and try to hop the Vikings to move up. But I'm fascinated, just like everybody else, to see how Sean Payton solves that issue that he has a quarterback.
Bo Nix right now is the favorite to go to the Broncos at plus 200 in that market. So we'll see how things shake out there. Very interesting situation that the Broncos have put themselves in over the last couple of years. Thank you, Thor, so much. Appreciate your time and look forward to continuing to check in with you as we get to the draft.
Appreciate you guys.
Again, follow him at ThorKU and check out all of the great content coming out of Fantasy Pros and BettingPros.com. We're going to hit the break. More free agency talk when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are not a registered VSiN.com user yet, head to the website right now and make it happen, because you can create an account for free and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do right now through the NCAA Championship Week leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/Champ Week. That's how you do it. Get instant access to VSiN Pro, our daily best bets with a leaderboard where you can see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Big Dance betting primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview. Help you bet the tournament smarter. Create that free account right now. VSiN.com/Champ Week. Again, that gets you full VSiN Pro access through March 17th. VSiN.com/Champ Week. We have news. Ladies and gentlemen, we were asking in the commercial break, hey, what do we want to come back with? You know what? Let's talk about the deals that haven't quite come through yet. Just kidding. The biggest one that we had a question mark about, we have an answer. Kirk Cousins, ladies and gentlemen, headed to the Atlanta Falcons. His agent, Mike McCartney, posting it as a 4-year deal. We have not seen the news on the average annual value. We have not seen the number in terms of the guarantees, but it must be big for our guy Kirk Cousins to head out that way.
Well, I mean, they went 4 years on the deal, so obviously it's a 4-year deal that will help their cap number, but it's also, you know, a way we're looking at what is that third year. I think that was the big disconnect in terms of the guarantees. Look, whatever you say about Kirk Cousins, here the reality of it is he will leave. He doesn't leave a nickel on the table. I mean, when it's over with, he's collected the pennies, the nickels, the dimes, the quarters. There's nothing left. There's no change in the couch on with Kirk Cousins left. None. He's gone through it, and God bless him. I mean, he's able to do it. It was at the right time. He had the best time. He had the best year. And, you know, we just hope he can come back from the ankle, from the Achilles, and that they'll protect him and, you know, they'll run the offense. Zach Robinson being there, I think it helps them because he knows the offense that Kevin O'Connell, they were both on the Rams staff together, wants to run.
And cue the bad photoshops already of Kirk Cousins in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. We're already some disproportional head to body size here that I'm seeing already outwardly. But with Atlanta, you know, you get a situation where it's probably a better football opportunity as well. You think about all of the talent in addition to the offensive system that you're going to want to run with Zach Robinson, but the people that you're going to have around you and a division that is very, very winnable. Plus 110 right now in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons are, but we'll see what that number ultimately transitions to with this move.
Now,
do you think it
this
will?
This is a move that moves it, right? I mean, you know, Atlanta, new staff, Raheem's going to make them better on defense. You know, they could run the ball last year. That's the one thing they could do. Kirk's usually very protective with the football. So, you know, I think it ultimately improves their team tremendously. And they were in a lot. Look, one thing about the NFL, if you sit there and watch all the teams, the good ones to the great ones, there's always 5 to 7 plays within a game that determine the outcome of the game. Your guy makes it. The other your guy doesn't make it. Their guy does. And Cousins is one of those guys that usually makes those plays. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's a big move for Atlanta. They still need a quarterback because even though they've given him a 4-year contract, you know, that 10-year of him going to be able to play coming off the Achilles is going to be interesting to see. This could, you know, you haven't watched him work out. You haven't watched him plant. He's not a fast guy, right? So he never was going to escape from the pocket. He was quick-minded, and that's what he was very good at. We'll see how he reacts to this.
And from our lips to God's ears on DraftKings, the Falcons from plus 110 to minus 110. So an odds-on number there for Atlanta to win the NFC South. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, too, with the Vikings going on and signing pass rusher Jonathan Greenard to a 4-year, $76 million deal, reading the tea leaves a little bit that this might not play out in Minnesota for Kirk Cousins to return. They still need to figure out what they're going to do with Justin Jefferson and that contract. And Michael, now as far as the quarterback position goes for Minnesota, what do they do? Because we just had Thor Nystrom on the program who he really likes the idea of the Vikings trading up and getting JJ McCarthy. What do you think their approach will be to the draft now?
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 4 hours they sign Sam Darnold. I think that's the guy they targeted. We know the 49ers re-signed Brandon Allen as their backup quarterback, which means they know that Darnold's leaving. Is there competition for Darnold? I don't think so. Minnesota's an open job. So, you know, right now, I mean, when you sit here and look at the landscape of the National Football League, Minnesota is an open position, right? You know, Washington, we know the teams picking the 1 through 3 are probably going to handle their quarterback. I think the next domino is going to be Jacoby Brissett. Where does he go? Does Minnesota want to get in on him to be that bridge guy? Or is he going to go to New England to be the bridge guy? I think those are the options. It makes more sense to go to Minnesota because they're so far down in the draft. Can they actually get up to get a quarterback?
And now with the Falcons going with Kirk Cousins, that means it is another spot that Justin Fields cannot go and will not go. So where we already knew and had talked about the market being a little bit more dry than we anticipated from Justin Fields based on initial reports and the initial thought process for what the compensation would be from a player like him, it's getting more and more questionable as to where he might end up. And if, as you pointed out in the last hour, if he is a starter in this league, because you don't feel that's the case.
No, I don't think anybody's going to give him a start. I mean, if somebody's going to give him a starting job, it would have been before this market. I mean, remember, right. Ryan Poles said he wants to get it done before free agency. I mean, somebody, you know, part of this thing is planning, right? You can see all these moves that are coming in. But these moves are pretty much have been done, and you would have seen the reaction. We saw Minnesota give Jonathan Greenard a ton of money, which indicated to me that they weren't getting Cousins, right? They went all in on Greenard, which is a smart thing to do. They're not going to get Hunter back either. But they went in on him. They've got their rusher. Now they have a little bit more change to play around with in terms of trying to improve their team. Probably sign a quarterback. Is it Darnold? I don't know. Is it Brissett? We'll see. Darnold comes from that Kyle Shanahan system he was in last year. So they have a connection there that he could run what Minnesota wants to run. And they're going to try to improve their defense. I think Minnesota's point now is, look, we're going to improve the defense of our team with the cap room, what they have. I think they got tired of being in Kirk Cousins' jail. And if you ask Mike Zimmer and if you ask Rick Spielman, guys that were there before, it really hampered their team. As good as Cousins has played, never the best in the biggest games of the year, that they felt like it hampered them. It just, they couldn't quite get enough good players on the team to get him over the hump. And ultimately, Cousins, because he is good, even though he hasn't won anything in terms of titles, he still gets paid because it's such a depleted market out there.
Yeah, and you wonder about his health too, obviously, coming off of the Achilles, how he recovers from that. I mean, we've already seen the videos. He looks to be moving and grooving just fine, but taking hits on an NFL field is a little bit of a different thing.
I want to ask you a question.
What you got?
When does Justin Jefferson take down his Vikings
the social media
on all that and demand a trade because nobody can throw him the football? When does that happen?
Oh, come on. So it is funny, though, monitoring in the offseason all of the social media stuff. Okay, who's going to we need to have odds out that on that just in general, like who's going to be the next guy to delete the team from their social media or block them or whatever the thing is, take their photos
down.
Well,
I think it's going to be T. Higgins, right? T. Higgins, if he has any, I think he's probably done it, right? I think he will. But look, I mean, here's what I will say. I don't know the contract, but I will say Atlanta clearly had to make this worth Kirk Cousins' while. Mm-hmm. And that's probably how the negotiating started. If you're Atlanta, you say, is this real? And the agent's probably saying, look, it's got to be real on your end because Minnesota wants them. And so I'm sure Atlanta, you know, did whatever they had to do because, look, Atlanta's a team that they're 7-10 the last 3 years, didn't think the quarterback was important. I mean, look how much money they're going to sink into. It's going to be interesting how much money they sink into Kirk Cousins and how much money they didn't want to sink into Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and then, of course, Lamar ends up having the MVP season. I still think that whole situation was remarkable. How many teams had no problem outwardly coming out and saying that they had no interest in anything Lamar Jackson, despite knowing the skill set and what he brings to the table. And Raheem Morris even said at his press conference at the Combine that if they had any semblance of quarterback play, he probably wouldn't be hired there. Obviously, Desmond Ridder was not the answer. Taylor Heinicke behind him, not the answer. And now it appears they have it in Kirk Cousins. So what is the next big name that we're trying to figure out? Saquon Barkley? Who else are we trying to find still available?
Well, we don't know the numbers. We don't know the numbers on Josh Jacobs, which he goes to Green Bay. Great signing. You know, it gives them a look. It gives, you know, Green Bay's got young receivers, right? A lot of young receivers, so they could afford to put, they got a lot of money in running back between Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs, but those two complement each other really well, really well. And Jacobs can do things in the passing game. I think he is really can, you know, he's got a chance to do, to kind of switch. They can kind of switch off a little bit in terms of one guy could be outside, the other guy could be in the backfield. So Barkley's got to be the next one to sign, I think. I think Barkley and Jacoby Brissett are the two most interesting players right now.
Barkley, Jacoby Brissett, and I'm going to throw Derrick Henry in there as well, because even though he is getting older, still very, very strong player.
Yeah, and Danielle Hunter, too. I think he's clearly one of the top guys out there, and he's obviously going to go somewhere. So, you know, look, that's what we're seeing is the teams that had their plan in place, they're executing their plan.
It's been fun. We've only got 15 minutes left here on the program. We'll see if we get any more breaking news, but plenty more still to delve into when we return on the Lombardi Line.
Yeah. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. How many Fast and Furious movies are there? 10? I think that today should count.
I've never seen one.
Today I've never seen one, Stormy. Well, today should count as 11 because the news that we are getting is just coming in fast and furious every single segment. Last segment, we had the news come through that Kirk Cousins signed a four-year deal to leave Minnesota, heading to the Atlanta Falcons. And then in the last commercial break, we get the news that Giants running back Saquon Barkley has found his new home with the Philadelphia Eagles. 3 years, $37.75 million, $26 million fully guaranteed at signing. And now he beats that franchise tag number here, Michael, with the second highest running back contract in history, average per year number 15.833 mil.
You know, I heard it this morning and I tweeted it. I was not sure because this is not typically of how the Eagles behave. But I think this move has a lot to do with their offense last year. Now, a lot of people will say they don't run the ball, they don't call runs. But I think what they learned last year is that if you go back to their Super Bowl season, is their ground game was so good. And look, let's face it, the Eagles can get, if it's third and one, they're getting the first down. You know, if they don't do away with the tush push, they're getting the first down. So, you know, you got to stop them on two downs. And I think they controlled the ball 2 years ago. They were able to run. Miles Sanders was very good. I think what they realize is if we have less of Jalen in terms of his ability to put the game on his shoulders and run the ball more, it helps our play. It does everything to help Hurts. And I think this is a move really to help Hurts more than anything.
And just to clarify real quickly, something that I said, that average annual value, that is the maximum of what it could be because his contract with incentives could be up to $46.75 million. So again, like all of these numbers are, who knows what they're ultimately going to be when all is said and done. But the three-year deal, that is the number one here. And you mentioned in your tweet, too, that Philadelphia never spends money on running backs. Why did they see so much value, in your opinion, in a guy like Saquon Barkley? And that has got to be also just a brutal look for the Giants to have that happen within the division, and you're going to have to face this guy.
Well, I think what they said simply was they need to take the pressure off their quarterback. I think they need to have a play-action pass game. I think they understand more than ever. Sometimes, you know, failure helps you understand your problems clearer. And I think the Eagles, when you look at them in the 23 season, 24-2 season, they ran the football effectively. You know, Miles Sanders, they had really good running backs. The year they won the Super Bowl, you know, with Nick Foles, there's a statue of Nick Foles. But really, you know, it was LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi were the big component to their play action RPO game. And so I think, look, I don't think that the Eagles don't want to run the ball to excess. I think what they want to do is run the ball to allow Hurts to have a play action, throw the ball down the field, make explosive plays. And I think Barkley gives them that. Now, Barkley's not been a very good pass protector in the past. He's been a good to average pass receiver. So if he can improve in those areas, which he has over the course of his career, I think the other concern if you're an Eagle fan is, can he stay healthy? I mean, that's always a concern with Saquon. Can he stay healthy? You know, in the last couple of years, he has. He's had some minor injuries, but he's been able to go through that. Look, I think this, everything the Eagles are going to do is going to be to protect the money that they gave Hurts to make sure that he has the best season ever.
Mm-hmm. And this cash.
Now, the Giants answered. They just signed John Runyon, the right guard for they signed an offensive lineman to a 3-year deal. John Runyon's from the Eagles. So the Giants are trying to rebuild their offensive line. The one thing too I want to add is this will be the best offensive line Barkley's ever played behind. Yeah, even without Kelsey, this will be the best offensive line he's played behind.
I was going to say, the comment on Runyon, I was like, well, Lord knows they need the help. He is Barkley has played behind largely throughout the course of his career, the worst offensive line in the entire NFL. So great opportunity for him there in Philadelphia, which cashes plus 350 tickets. If you had him in the where will he take his next snap market on DraftKings, also just tying that all together, former Eagles running back DeAndre Swift is now with the Chicago Bears. He signed a 3-year, $24 million deal there. We have numbers now from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero on the contract for Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. 4 years, $180 million. That includes a $50 million signing bonus and $100 million in guaranteed money, 90 of it in 24 and 25, plus another 10 in 26.
Well, he didn't get the big guarantee in 26, right? So he only got 10, but those numbers are staggering, right? They're staggering. I mean, they paid as if he was coming off a healthy season. Numbers are staggering. I mean, how do you turn? I don't believe Minnesota would have been anywhere near $100 million on guarantees. I don't think they would have been. I mean, Atlanta went right to the table, put all their chips on front. And how do you turn it down? You can't fault the guy for turning down $100 million guaranteed. You know, you can call him selfish. You can call him all about himself. But look, let's face it. You know, let's face it. They wanted him in Atlanta. They need him. They need a fan base to get excited about something, and they paid dearly for it.
Well, and we talked so much about, too, like if he were to have stayed in Minnesota, the comfort level that he has there, right? It's a place that he likes. He likes the coaching staff. He likes the people around him. But he also has a connectedness to Atlanta. His wife's family, she grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia. Her parents live there. They're going to have a comfort and a familial standpoint from that. It's a great city, and you're getting paid more money, and you're playing in a division where you have a better likelihood of winning and having success. It makes a lot of sense.
I love when people say that, because when you're making this kind of money, you can get a net jet deal. And so basically any backyard's your backyard. Mm-hmm. When you have a net jet deal, you can go anywhere, right? Like I love it. When you're making this kind of money, $45 million a year, you got a net jet deal. You just say, oh, we're going to go to dinner here tonight. Oh, fly there. Boom, come back. You know, I mean, like every hometown is your hometown when you're with a net jet deal. But look, I agree with you. It made it easier for the transition. But that number, the 45 per year, the $100 million guarantee, that Minnesota wasn't doing that. Minnesota has been in Kirk Cousins' jail before. They've been there, and they didn't like it. They're still he leaves behind a trail of money still, and he'll leave behind a trail of money in Atlanta. Do you think Atlanta's going to win the Super Bowl? At this number, you got to believe they think they will.
And again, minus 110, the odds now for the Atlanta Falcons within the NFC South was plus 110 earlier today, which I think even still had a little bit of that Kirk Cousins baked into it for them to be that number in terms of the favorite in the division. But now an odds on minus 110 on DraftKings. Saquon Barkley now to the Philadelphia Eagles. We also saw Christian Wilkins sign a 4-year deal, $110 million to go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Gabe Davis is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. But this we didn't dive into as much earlier. 3-year, $39 million, the value there. You said in a commercial break, okay, that's a number where they could still go on and sign Calvin Ridley. So what should we understand about that contract?
Yep. Well, I mean, look, that's a third, that's like a second level contract, 13 a year. You know, these guys like Pittman, these guys like Evans, they're getting in that 20 high 20 number, 21, 22, 23. That's kind of almost a number one receiver. You're not quite getting to the Tyreek Hill 30 event. I mean, Justin Jefferson's going to get over 30. We know that. So this is an economic deal. I think they can still do another deal if they have it. I'm surprised they didn't try to help their defense. I really am. I thought Jacksonville would have gone defensive front, because knowing Trent Baalke, you know, he's a big believer in the defense. I mean, that's what he was in San Francisco, but I guess they felt like they needed to get some players offensively to help them. And, you know, they signed Will Lutz, the kicker, too, from the Denver Broncos, which three kickers signed today.
Yep.
How about that, right? How important is that position?
Yeah.
On the opening day of free agency, three kickers signed. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Hey, we do talk about how underrated and important that is. And we've seen the kicking game cost a lot of teams and be a massive benefit for a lot of teams as well. Also,
no question.
Josh Jacobs goes to the Green Bay Packers. And we also saw David Bakhtiari released after 11 years with Green Bay. He's been injured for so long. The writing was on the wall with that one.
He'll be listed as the Jets starting tackle in the opening day, and then he'll play two plays and get hurt, unfortunately. The Dolphins, I'll tell you, the team to keep an eye on. The Dolphins are losing players left and right. You know, as Uncle Junior once said, they're dropping like flies here. I mean, now they lose Van Ginkle to Minnesota. He got a two-year deal for $20 million. Van Ginkle was flying around the country last year. People were just offering him a minimum deal. He was a good player, and he rushed really well. You know, you get Greenhardt and Van Ginkle for Minnesota, they're getting better on defense. Now, they don't have a quarterback. They're going to have to figure that out.
And how much is paying Tua going to help you at the cost of your defense?
Oh,
if that's what this is costing you.
Don't you dare go there. Don't end the day like that, Stormy. Do not go there. You know we got to pay Tua. You know, the whole thing evolves around Tua. Come on now.
It's going to happen. Should it happen? Does it need to happen? Now, those are different questions, which we will save for another day. That's a wrap on today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Boy, was this fun. And maybe we can actually have
some
more
Stormy.
Cemented information tomorrow.